Tonight, President Biden, the hard-fought victory. Also, former President Trump. And news tonight, who the FBI has already interviewed from inside his White House. And Congresswoman Liz Cheney. Will she survive today's primary? We're live from Washington to Wyoming tonight. First, President Biden signing the nearly $740 billion bill into law today, lowering the cost of health care and of prescription drugs and insulin, the largest ever investment in the U.S. to fight climate change, incentives for American families on electric vehicles and solar, taxing corporations and bringing down the deficit. Cecilia Vega at the White House tonight. Also news this evening involving the FBI search at Mar-a-Lago and who the FBI has already interviewed from inside the Trump White House. And the battle tonight over whether to release the affidavit, what we've now learned, Terry Moran with late reporting. The critical primary showdown, Wyoming's Liz Cheney, the most high-profile Republican to take on the former president. Is there any chance she survives today's primary? Our John Carl tonight in Wyoming with the voters. And Alaska's Senator Lisa Murkowski, who voted to convict Donald Trump in his impeachment trial. How will she do tonight? And Sarah Palin, will voters in Alaska send her to Congress? Tonight, we also have news on the monkeypox outbreak in the U.S., the eighth child now in the U.S. with suspected monkeypox, and what authorities are now saying about your pets after a suspected case of monkeypox involving a dog. There's also news tonight on your next COVID booster, Dr. Jha today, on how soon Americans will be able to get that booster that covers the most recent variants of the virus. The brutal shark attack off the Florida Keys, a 10-year-old boy attacked, losing part of his leg. The drought emergency unfolding tonight, the drastic action now possible on the Colorado River. Historic water cuts now possible for multiple states, the level so concerning. Authorities warning tonight we're at a tipping point. The war in Ukraine, the growing concern over a potential nuclear emergency. Thousands fleeing as the fighting around Europe's largest nuclear plant inside Ukraine intensifies. Here at home, major news on hearing aids tonight, the move that will make them much more affordable for millions of Americans. And supersonic, the big announcement from American Airlines tonight, and the potential flying time from New York to London, about 3.5 hours.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Tuesday night. News on the former president and who the FBI has already interviewed from inside the former Trump White House. Also news coming in tonight on COVID, how soon you'll be able to get a booster that includes the latest variants. But we do begin tonight with President Biden and that hard-fought victory, the new law that will affect millions of Americans, the major health care, climate, and corporate tax bill now signed into law. It is a hard-fought victory, as we mentioned, for the president, bringing down prescription drug costs, the largest investment in fighting climate change in U.S. history, incentives involving electric cars and solar, and raising taxes on corporations, lowering the deficit. The First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, was not there today, testing positive for COVID, remaining in South Carolina. The president, who just had COVID, testing negative this morning. And after the signing today, President Biden handing the pen to Senator Joe Manchin, getting him on board, of course, was key to this bill's survival. And what the president said to Joe Manchin before he even signed the bill into law. How soon before Americans will see the benefits of this and the big push tonight now planned with this victory, 84 days until the midterms. Our chief White House correspondent, Cecilia Vega, leading us off.
At the White House today, a celebration that not long ago seemed almost impossible. President Biden signing into law the landmark Inflation Reduction Act and then handing the pen to Joe Manchin, the Democratic senator who once threatened to derail the entire thing.
And Joe, I never had a doubt. Joe had an operation on his shoulder. I just want you to know it wasn't because of anything we did.
It is a massive victory for a president facing record low approval ratings and a party hoping to avoid big losses in November's midterms. Their goal, to convince Americans that this will reduce inflation and help their bottom line, nearly $740 billion in all, with major investments in health care, expanding subsidies to help 13 million Americans pay for insurance, and capping prescription drug prices for Medicare recipients at $2,000 a year, and starting next year, ensuring they pay no more than $35 a month for insulin. It is also the largest investment in fighting climate change in U.S. history.
This bill is the biggest step forward on climate ever.
nearly $370 billion, including tax credits for solar panels and electric vehicles. The White House says this will cut greenhouse gases 40% from their 2005 high by the end of the decade. And it's all paid for by new taxes on large companies and stepped up IRS enforcement on the wealthiest taxpayers. Republicans calling it a grab bag of special projects. Not a single one voted for it.
Democrats sided with the American people, and every single Republican in the Congress sided with the special interest in this vote.
President Biden hoping it's a win that carries his party through the midterms in just 84 days.
It's about delivering progress and prosperity to American families. It's about showing the American and the American people that democracy still works in America.
So let's get right to Cecilia Vega live at the White House tonight. Cecilia, you reported as we were on the air this afternoon with this bill signing that it's going to be some time before some of these savings kick in, for example, the prescription drug savings, but they are coming for millions. There's also, as you know, a huge political component to this that you've been reporting on in the midterms. You said just moments ago, 84 days away, the White House tonight eager to get on the road with this.
Yeah, David, not just the White House, not just the president, the cabinet, they are all about to hit the roads, really hoping to show Americans how this plan is going to lower costs for them. Democrats, we're being told, are also about to kick off a major ad buying blitz. But look, this timeline, so much of this doesn't kick in until after the midterms. That prescription drug cap that you mentioned, it doesn't start until 2025. So, David, really the reality right now, this big win for Democrats today, really unclear if this is going to help them come November.
Cecilia Vega leading us off here tonight. Cecilia, thank you. Now to former President Trump, and there are new developments tonight in the investigation of those classified documents removed from the former president's Florida home, Mar-a-Lago. Will the affidavit be revealed? When the judge will now hear arguments on both sides of this, and soon. And tonight, who the FBI has already interviewed from inside the Trump White House. Here's our senior national correspondent, Terry Moran, tonight.
Tonight, ABC News has learned that the FBI has interviewed former Trump White House counsel Pat Cipollone and his former deputy about those documents stored at Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence. They're the most senior former administration officials known to have been interviewed in this fast-moving investigation. This morning, Trump himself took to social media and called for the immediate release of the completely unredacted affidavit behind that search at Mar-a-Lago. That affidavit, a sworn document that spells out the evidence and justification for a search warrant. The Justice Department opposes its release, arguing it would reveal specific investigative techniques and could even compromise the investigation. But Trump's hardball demand was quickly echoed by top Republicans.
To me, until we see specificity within the affidavit, we will not have the kind of clarity that the American people need to come to their own conclusions.
But the Justice Department, in a court filing, warned that releasing the affidavit could disclose highly classified materials and would also likely chill future cooperation by witnesses.
And so, Terry, we've now learned that a Florida judge will hear arguments on whether to release that affidavit that, of course, led to this search. The judge will hear those arguments on Thursday.
That's right, David. And the Justice Department should be in a strong position. Affidavits for search warrants often remain sealed at the request of prosecutors to maintain the integrity of an investigation. In this case, there's that classified material at stake. Courts routinely defer to the government on that issue, too. David?
All eyes on that judge on Thursday. Terry Moran tonight. Thank you, Terry. Next this evening here, the primary showdown underway in Wyoming tonight. Congresswoman Liz Cheney, who has taken on former President Trump, helping to lead the January 6th committee. Tonight, she's in an uphill fight to try to keep her seat in the House. So what are Wyoming voters saying? Jonathan Carl with the voters there tonight.
Tonight in Wyoming, much more than a House race, a showdown between Donald Trump and the Republican willing to sacrifice her political career to bring him down. Trump has made Liz Cheney his number one target. And in the state where he beat Biden more than any other, nearly 44%, Republican voters seem to be heeding his call.
She thought that she knew what was right for Wyoming residents. Sorry, Wyoming residents know what's right for Wyoming residents.
Why did you not vote for Liz Cheney?
Because I did not feel that she represented the Republican Party. She took off on her own.
Did you vote for Liz Cheney in the past?
I have.
But not now?
No. No, I knew the Cheneys, yeah. You know. Not now.
Why?
Because I don't think she represented me or our party.
Cheney has known for a long time that her stand against Trump would likely cause her to lose her seat in Congress. But she says standing by the truth is more important.
Tonight, I say this to my Republican colleagues who are defending the indefensible. There will come a day when Donald Trump is gone, but your dishonor will remain.
The people of Wyoming are going to tell her, Liz, you're fired. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Trump endorsed Cheney's rival, Harriet Hegeman, instantly making her the front runner.
We're fed up with the January 6th commission and those people who think that they can gaslight us.
Liz Cheney has long been a conservative Republican. She voted with Trump more than 90% of the time. But now she worries for the future of her party.
Can the Republican Party survive in the way you've known it if Donald Trump is again chosen?
It can't survive if he's our nominee.
No.
No. I think that he can't be the party nominee, and I don't think the party would survive that.
John Carl with us tonight from Jackson Hole, Wyoming. John, you've interviewed Liz Cheney several times along the way. She knows the reality here, what she faces tonight, but she's also signaled that she's not going away.
David, I expect that if she loses, as most people expect she will here in Wyoming, that she will make it crystal clear in her speech tonight that her time in Congress may be over, but she will still take this fight to Donald Trump. In many ways, the battle just enters a new phase, which could include running for president herself in 2024.
Well, we'll see on that front. John, of course, it's not just Liz Cheney we're watching tonight. We're also following the primaries in Alaska. You've got Senator Lisa Murkowski, who voted to convict Donald Trump in his second impeachment trial. And then there's Sarah Palin, who's now running for Congress with the former president's support.
Yeah, as for Murkowski, she has a much better chance of surviving, largely because of how those primaries are run in Alaska. And Sarah Palin, if she wins, advances to the general election, it will really be because of one reason and one reason only, and that is because she had Donald Trump's endorsement.
Jonathan Carl watching it all for us from Wyoming tonight, John. Thank you. We move on to news on monkeypox tonight. More than 12,000 cases now confirmed here in the U.S. And tonight, the new number, at least 8 children have now tested positive for the virus. Also, the new guidance tonight involving your pets after a case involving a dog. Here's Ariel Reshef tonight.
Tonight, health officials saying an 8th child has now tested positive for monkeypox in the U.S. The latest, a child under 2 years old in Harris County, Texas.
That child, a young child in our community, is a presumptive positive for the monkeypox virus.
The case, a presumptive positive until officially confirmed by the CDC, which could take several days.
The family has helped us initiate contact tracing with the folks that this child has been in contact with.
The child has not been in a daycare or school setting, is doing well, and expected to make a full recovery. This as researchers in France are reporting a case of a dog developing monkeypox after being exposed by its owners, prompting the CDC to update its guidance, saying pets exposed to someone with monkeypox should stay home and away from other people and animals for 21 days after the most recent exposure. Those with monkeypox should also avoid contact with animals.
And David, with the start of the school year right now upon us, health officials stress that there is no significant risk of monkeypox spread to children at this time. David.
All right, Ariel Reshef tonight. Ariel, thank you. And now to the pandemic. There is news tonight on when millions of Americans might be able to get the new booster that will cover the most recent variants of this virus. White House COVID coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha saying today that the new shots tailored to target the most recent variants, including Omicron BA5, could be out in 3 weeks' time. They still need the FDA and the CDC to sign off. The FDA directed both Moderna and Pfizer to begin making these vaccines earlier this summer. We'll keep you posted, of course. Next tonight, here to the shark attack in the East, a 10-year-old boy losing part of his leg off the Florida Keys. ABC's Victor Akendo from Florida.
Tonight, a 10-year-old boy is lucky to be alive after a shark attack.
Shallow water, about 10 feet of water. Just out having fun time with his snorkel and GoPro and trying to see fish and turtles.
Jameson Reeder Jr.'s uncle posting these photos to Facebook and telling our affiliate WPLG the 10-year-old was snorkeling off a boat in the Florida Keys on Saturday when an 8-foot bull shark attacked him. Jameson rescued by another boat that happened to have a nurse on board.
We can see the bone. It's a pretty big bite. We've already put a tourniquet around his leg and we're wrapping towels around it.
Little Jameson's leg amputated below the knee. It's the 4th shark attack in the Keys since April. As our oceans warm, sharks are coming closer and closer to shore. These spotted off Fort Lauderdale this weekend. But experts say attacks are still rare.
If you look at how many people are in the water and how many sharks we have in some of these waters, the chance of actually someone getting bitten is extremely low.
And Jameson's uncle telling us that he is actually back in surgery tonight, but that he's been in good spirits and that he is going to survive. David, he called him a warrior.
He certainly is. Victor Akendo in Florida tonight. Victor, thank you. We return now to our reporting on the climate crisis and tonight news on the Colorado River. The warning from federal authorities just today that we're at a tipping point, in their words, saying historic water cuts to multiple states are now possible. Here's Matt Gubman.
Tonight, the federal government says the Colorado River, which serves nearly 40 million Americans across seven states and Mexico, is at a tipping point. The drought so extreme, the federal government saying states like Arizona and Nevada will need to drastically cut back on water use.
The prolonged drought afflicting the West is one of the most significant challenges facing our communities and our country.
Failure to ease water use risks not only the loss of the river, but energy production and, according to a senior administration official, uncertainty and conflict. We have reported on the historic lows of reservoirs across the West, especially Lake Powell and Lake Mead.
Over the past two decades, the water level here at Lake Mead has decreased by 130 feet. That's basically a 13-story building. And when you're up close, you can see how gigantic those bathtub rings really are.
Lake Mead at 37% capacity then, now just 27%.
David, the federal government has the power to force the states to reduce their water use, but officials tell us right now they would prefer working with the states that rely on the Colorado River. David.
We'll stay on this, of course. Matt Gutman, thank you again tonight. Now to the war in Ukraine, and this evening, thousands are now fleeing the area around Europe's largest nuclear power plant, of course, inside Ukraine. ABC's Britt Klenit in Ukraine with a Ukrainian who works at that plant and his warning tonight.
Tonight, Europe's largest nuclear power plant under increasing and relentless attack, forcing thousands to flee as shelling hits dangerously close. Around 30 miles northeast in Zaporizhia, we spoke with one of the plant's engineers who left there yesterday to help his family evacuate, but is going back, asking us not to show his face for fear of retaliation.
How much should the world be worried about the safety of the plant?
Конечно.
Of course, he says. Every day they come closer and closer to the units. And he has a bleak warning if the spent fuel containers are attacked.
Ну, тогда может быть Чернобыль.
It might well be like another Chernobyl, he says. If the storage is hit badly, there will be radioactive clouds and pollution. Columns of cars streaming in from the occupied areas, including Enerhada, the site of the plant. It's bad there. It's hard. It's hard, this woman from Enerhada tells us. Let our authorities go there and have a look. This is new video circulating online showing explosions at an ammunition depot on the Crimean Peninsula, where the Russian Defense Ministry confirmed a fire broke out, forcing evacuations. It's the second suspected Ukrainian attack on the peninsula in just over a week, the first destroying Russian warplanes at their airbase.
And tonight, Moscow is saying the International Atomic Energy Agency will be allowed safe access to inspect the site, but only on Russian terms and not through Ukraine. David.
All right, Britt Klenit right there in Ukraine for us. Britt, thank you. When we come back tonight, the major recall this evening involving a half million SUVs in this country, their new concern, and some very welcome news tonight on hearing aids.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems, it's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, a major safety recall from General Motors, the company recalling nearly 500,000 SUVs, they say because of an issue with seatbelts. On the list, models from 2021 to this year, certain Cadillac Escalades, Chevy Suburbans and Tahoes, and GMC Yukons. You can find more information on our website tonight. Also, that major rule change from the FDA involving hearing aids, allowing the sale of hearing aids now without a prescription. This is important, making it easier and less expensive for adults with mild to moderate hearing problems to get help without seeing a specialist or getting a prescription. An estimated 30 million Americans could benefit, saving about $1,400 per hearing aid or more. They'll be available over the counter or online beginning in mid-October. Tonight here, a passing to note, Oscar-nominated German film director Wolfgang Petersen has died. Petersen's first major release, Das Boot, about a German submarine in World War II, won critical acclaim. Later, Air Force One and In the Line of Duty. Wolfgang Petersen was 81. Finally tonight, are we about to witness the return of supersonic flight? Here's Marcus Moore.
Tonight, American Airlines announcing some of its future planes could travel faster than the speed of sound.
The world's fastest airliner.
The airline saying it's planning to buy as many as 20 supersonic jets. American says they'll fly as fast as 1,300 miles per hour. Boom, the company that plans to build the supersonic jets, says a trip from New York to London would take about 3.5 hours. The aircraft is still in the prototype stage, and Boom is still searching for a company to make the engine. According to the Associated Press, Boom is talking with Rolls-Royce and others. The last time people could fly at supersonic speeds on a commercial flight? 2003, the year British Airways and Air France retired the Concorde.
David, all of this could happen relatively soon. The company hopes to begin carrying passengers on the planes by 2029. Dan?
We could be to London before later tonight, Marcus. Thanks for that, and thank you at home for watching. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.